Hello and welcome back to Intuitive Conversations. I'm Tamara Franz.
And I'm Chantal Neufeld. And today's topic is discovering parts of ourselves. So this week, we discovered this new-ish or new-to-us therapy called IFS therapy, and that stands for Internal Family Systems by Richard Schwartz. And the guy who was leading the workshop that we watched was Dr. Jay Early. And so, would you like to?
Well, I think what excited us about this for you, because you had some exposure to parts therapy in your timeline therapy training. And for me, just watching his talk and hearing about this system and how it's put together just made so many connections for me with some of the other integrative therapies that we've talked about, the Feeding Your Demons therapy. It made me think a lot about, and we'll get into this later, The Wizard of Oz and the Hero's Journey, which for me is a very integrative, experiential way of integrating parts of yourselves. And yeah, so we started having this conversation about how all of these things fit together, and just this idea of reclaiming, discovering, and reclaiming the different parts of yourselves, and bringing together the energies that have split off, that have maybe gone into hiding, things that have disempowered, because we're always big into empowerment.
Yeah, so a very basic introduction to parts therapy would be that there are three types of parts. One would be a healthy type, one would be a protector type, and another type would be an exile type. And so protector, for an example for me, protector was perfection. And so it was stopping me from what I wanted to do, which was be more visible in my business. And the exiles were a fear of rejection and unworthiness. So the exiles are more of like a feeling, and the protector is more of a, I don't know, more of a fighter, I
Right,
guess.
yeah. The way he was describing it was that the protectors try to keep us from feeling pain. And the exiles, which are often or usually described as inner children, are the parts of ourselves that carry the pain, the embarrassment, the shame, the anxiety, the rejection, all of those things. And so we have these protectors that try to keep us from going back into these places where we felt pain in the past.
Yeah, and so, I mean, every one of us as children has come across some kind of trauma that is, left us to try and make sense of it and to try and protect us from feeling that pain again. The protector comes in, and it's like a coping mechanism. And a lot of us, we needed coping mechanisms as children to survive. And then now as adults, we have freedom. We don't need those coping mechanisms anymore, but they still keep showing up anyways because they don't know, they haven't gotten the memo that, hey, we can do things differently now. We have the freedom to do things differently now.
As I listened, we had a talk just before we came onto our podcast, and I was saying we've talked a lot in the past about the hero's journey. Mythology speaks a lot to me, and I think it's because these parts of ourselves are so well represented in the world's mythologies. And one mythology or hero's journey kind of story that has always spoken to me is The Wizard of Oz. And I feel like that journey that Dorothy takes through Oz is like an IFS journey, where she is discovering these different parts of herself. The scarecrow, the brain, the clear thinking, the clarity, the one that finds the answers, the courage of the lion, the compassionate part of the Tin Man who wants the heart. And she goes through her journey collecting these parts of herself that have somehow been lost, and that journey is all about coming home or going home. There's no place like home, and coming back home to yourself and reintegrating all these parts. And by the end of the story, you see how powerful she is, that she's able to overcome just this biggest, scariest figure in the story, which is the Wicked Witch of the West.
And you were talking about behind the curtain before too, that there was...
Yeah, I thought of that because as we were watching this presentation about the structure of the psyche before IFS therapy. So before you've reclaimed all these different parts of yourselves, you have, there's a picture here of the heart, and it's got all these protectors kind of covering it. So you don't have access to...
Your essence.
Right, yourself, which has all these qualities of compassion, caring, clarity, calm, creativity, courage, connection, and curiosity. Those are the four kind of C's they talk about that characterize the healthy self. But the protectors are preventing you from having access to all of that. And then there is in behind this curtain all these exiles that you've kind of shoved away and hidden.
Disowned.
And disowned. And it's so well portrayed in the movie where Toto, the little dog, goes and grabs the curtain and pulls it away. And you see this Wizard of Oz, who's actually just a small little man who's created this huge, powerful projection of himself as this mighty wizard that terrifies everybody. And really, that was just the protector that was protecting his exiled self, which is hiding behind the curtain like a frightened child.
Mm. Wow. That's awesome.
So it was just exciting to see that this is just kind of a new language for showing us kind of the wisdom of the ages that has come up in all of these different systems of thought, different modes of therapy. And it's all just about this experiential journey of naming and claiming these parts of yourselves and finding ways to bring them back into connection with each other.
And not only integrating, but also transforming, also like with the Feeding Your Demons work, turning it into an ally.
Right. That was really exciting for me, actually. And I know that not everybody's going to relate to the language of feeding your demons, because that might be trigger language for people, depending on the belief system that you've grown up with. But it's just such an elegantly simple process. And I was listening to how IFS was explained in the process involved there, and it just made me think this is entirely the same thing,
just with different words.
Right, where you identify that inner demon or this blockage that
this
keeps
protector
you, that keeps anything that is blocking your freedom can be considered a demon. And so there's your protector. And as you work with it and ask it questions, and maybe in a subsequent podcast we'll do a little sample feeding your demons, but as you work with it, you discover the exile behind the protector, and then you feed it this nectar, whatever it is that it most needs, realizing that you actually have those resources within you. It's very empowering to realize you have an endless supply of whatever it is that this exile, this demon is needing, and in the process, it transforms into an ally, which is your healthy self or some aspect of your healthy self. So just different words, different language, but very powerful and experiential.
And to me, the best thing about these integrative therapies is that instead of fighting, you're nurturing, right? Like instead of pushing your bad feelings away, you're like loving these parts that were, you know, just childhood parts that were hurt. And so showing compassion towards them.
Yeah. Fighting, when you think about it, is so oppositional. It takes a lot of energy to fight against something.
And whatever you resist persists or grows stronger.
Right.
So why would you want to do that?
And what caused those parts of ourselves to go into hiding in the first place? It was, you know, we experienced some kind of an internal division. So fighting is not the way to heal
integrate
that.
Or to transform it.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. And I love what you say, like it's almost like an affirmation. I have every resource I need for healing. I have access to every energetic resource that I need. like what you were saying before, like we are creating regardless of what we do, whether we're just going through life not having any intention at all, we're still creating. But wouldn't it be nice to create what you do want?
Right. Yeah. One of the first things that this Dr. J. Hurley said at the beginning of his presentation was that this therapy system or method is non-pathologizing. And I love that because there's no judgment, there's no naming of any part of yourself as being sick
Or bad or
or bad
wrong.
or right. It's just these are the different parts of yourself. And so it really engages a stance of curiosity. And that, when I heard that, it really connected me to Brené Brown and her work around the whole rising strong process, which really is a beautiful process for engaging some of these different parts and energies. And of course, her language is different, but she kind of uses the hero's journey, and she's got these three acts: the reckoning, the rumble, and the revolution. And so, you know, there's the first act where you realize you've been triggered, or some kind of an event has happened, and you have this moment that she calls the face down moment in the arena, right? Where you just, okay, I'm realizing now that I've fallen off my horse. This isn't where I want to be. I've really screwed up, whatever it is. And then realizing I need to get up. I'm in the arena now, and I just need to face this moment. And rumbling with these different, really difficult emotions, but from a standpoint of curiosity. And that feels very different than the kind of talk therapy where you're trying to find the reasons behind everything, you're trying to trace everything back, or you know,
Place blame.
finding the cause, trying to rationalize through everything, which just becomes the hamster wheel that
And
never
often
stops turning.
re-traumatizes.
Right. Yeah. So the curiosity, I think, is just kind of shifts everything. And I feel like that is Dorothy going through her journey, right? Just being curious. Oh, Scarecrow, what are you doing up on the pole? Lion, why are you roaring so loud? Why do you have to, roar at everybody all the time? Or Scarecrow, why did you get so rusted in the joints? What happened to you that you feel like you are out of touch with your heart? And so it's just kind of getting into dialogue with those different parts and finding out, well, what is it that you need?
And then meeting that need, and when you meet that need, then the behavior doesn't present itself anymore. One of my favorite things from Brené Brown is when she would like when she's in a relationship and they're not getting along, and in order to communicate, she said, "The story I'm telling myself is, because that's just what we do. We something comes in, like information comes in, we're talking to somebody, and it goes through the filters of our mind and creates a story, and that story might not be true, especially if it's making you feel bad. It's most likely not true."
Yeah, but stories are powerful. And we know that as human beings, we're hardwired for story. We think in terms of story. And I know that if I go to a lecture, or if I sit in on a sermon or something, I very quickly lose interest or lose connection with what the speaker is saying,
If it's
unless they're
just
telling
facts.
stories.
Because stories speak to the subconscious mind.
So the stories we tell ourselves are really powerful, and if we're not conscious of them, they're driving us in ways that we're not aware of.
And what a lot of people don't know is that we can rewrite those stories. And it's not necessarily about rewriting the past, but it's rewriting how we interpret the past. Whereas we would people clients who come to me, they either come in victim mode or they're like, blaming something, like why did that have to happen, or just resisting it and thinking of all the bad things that came from it, rather than looking at it from a totally new perspective and totally shifting how they see that event. And
As an educator, I've learned that curiosity is one of the most powerful drivers of learning. And so I've really learned that if I'm going to introduce a new topic to my students, to my learners, I spend some time thinking about how I'm going to activate that topic. How will I not only surface what they already know about it, but how will I generate some powerful curiosity? Get them asking questions, get them curious about learning. And there are many different ways to do that. But I love that with internal family systems, with the feeding your demons, with the hero's journey and personal mythology work, it's curiosity about this story that I'm in. And with Brené Brown too, just the curiosity about where are these really powerful feelings coming from and what are they telling me? And there's no judgment. There's nothing wrong about it. It's just what is, and being curious about what is. And then, well, where can it shift from here? Where can I go?
And so it's kind of like when you're in a relationship with your significant other, and instead of getting hurt feelings and creating resentments or getting mad at the other person, to be like, the story that I'm telling myself is that, you don't want to be with me because you're doing that or whatever. And then we think, oh, well, why is that? Oh, in childhood, maybe my parent was doing the same thing and that's triggering to me, and it's kind of like, just as we can engage with our significant other and say the story I'm telling myself is, you can also do that internally with yourself and be like
Yeah,
curious.
yeah. I love it that she calls those stories we're telling ourselves SFDs, shitty first drafts. So the story that I'm telling myself is probably based on a lot of assumptions and conjectures, and the protector parts inside of me have chosen to interpret this in various ways so that they can step in and protect me from pain or make sure that I don't step into it again. But then as you get curious, and as you start dialoguing with those different parts and to find out what they have to say, the draft starts to take form in different ways. So that's an introduction to IFS. We'll probably come back to that in
Oh, we
subsequent
probably will
podcasts.
because I'm very excited about it. All right, thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, keep following your heart song.